Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Hubble Happy Hour. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
Are they listening, D.A.? Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing this morning? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you. Really big show coming up for you. We've got Army's head coach, Jeff Munkin, who will drop on by the show next hour. Army has had another fantastic year under his leadership. A couple of weeks ago, they were able to knock off Air Force at West Point. Right now, they're having one of their best seasons in recent memory. And really, Coach Munkin has changed the entire dynamic and expectations of Army football around. We'll talk to him coming up next hour about the challenges of taking a service academy and trying to beat the very best, where obviously different responsibilities for different student athletes and a team with the Black Knights that nearly knocked off Oklahoma on the road this year. Army is 8-2 on the season, winners of six straight games. Amazing. Also, let's talk about Tom Thibodeau and what he got back for Jimmy Butler coming up here in 15 minutes. Did Tibbs screw the Wolves' future? Next hour, how bad is this about this Golden State Warriors situation? We got to discuss how the Warriors right now are backing Kevin Durant, that it seems like everybody has painted Draymond as the bad guy. The College Football Playoff Committee rankings are out. They went unchanged. But let's discuss worst-case scenario for the committee as we head down the stretch here. Le'Veon Bell is done for the season, did not report yesterday, so let's make the final declaration. Did Le'Veon win or lose this bet? And Ohio State is lashing out at the latest report of dysfunction around Zach Smith and that program. Do we believe the Buckeyes? All of that is coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can hit me up on the phones on any of those topics or anything else at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let me also note it's a very special sound check today, which comes your way in 35 minutes. We have a loyal D-alien who has combed the PGP archives looking to hang me out to dry for my support of Huge Freeze. Apparently, Mraz has his little foot soldiers out there doing his handiwork, trying to catch me in my own web. Look, I ain't backing off my surprise that you guys dislike Huge and my support of the man with the golden voice. But we'll play this audio coming up for you at approximately 40 minutes past the hour today in soundcheck. And I don't know what the audio is. Mraz just says you better watch out because you are caught in your own hypocrisy, DA. I can't wait to hear how this goes, and I can't believe you've employed your foot soldiers, the D-Aliens, to comb through audio because you're too lazy to do it and try to catch me in my huge freeze support.
That's what happens when a dictator has a bunch of peasants out there in Chubbo Nation. We got you red-handed, you're dead to rights, you're getting undressed at 940.
Hey, let's start with the Mexico game because the NFL finally does the right thing. And yesterday they pulled the trigger on evacuating out of Mexico City. We talked about this yesterday. I was irate that the NFL was going to put at risk Super Bowl potential for the Rams and the Chiefs because of a garbage turf in a stadium that does not house American football. In a city that was going to prevent the Rams from even coming back the same night because of customs at LAX, I said, this is absolutely absurd. I yelled, I screamed, and these are the types of things that I just can't stand about the leadership of the NFL. I can't stand it that the NFL continually sells its soul, sells its tradition, sells its fabric of integrity for the quickest buck every time. If you saw these field conditions at Stadia Azteca, you would know this is unplayable. Huge tracts of sod, muddy, tore up, ripped up. Because why? Well, they have a ton of concerts there, but they also play soccer there regularly. Even the Liga MX soccer team that plays at that stadium, even their manager said, we can't play here. This turf is too bad. They had a tournament game there this past weekend and said, we can't even play on this. This is dangerous. This is the soccer team that plays there every single week saying this is dangerous. Now let's put in 300-pound, 350-pound defensive linemen. Let's put in another 22 NFL players smashing heads against one another on every play. Not used to that type of sod anyway, at a certain altitude, and we are just asking for trouble here. The NFL did what was right. They moved the game out of Mexico City to Los Angeles because this was a Rams home game anyway. The Rams had given up their home game to play in Mexico City. Understandably so, they have tons of Mexican-American fans in Los Angeles. This would be an easy way to try to bond with the community. I get why they want to do that, but I've also felt like this is so ridiculous from a competitive standpoint because the NFL only has 16 of these. They only have 16. And so to sell off one of your best games and you don't even allow your home crowd to enjoy maybe the best matchup of the season is all types of wrong. All types of wrong. Add on top of it that you play in goofy soccer stadiums, and I'm a soccer fan, but you played in London, you played in Mexico City. None of this makes any sense. Sell off the preseason games. We don't care about those. What you're doing to us here in the States is telling us, not only do we not care that you guys are uber loyal to our product and have built our product into the machine that it is, but we're also willing to sell off competitive balance in a 16-game schedule, one of only 8 home games, just so we can, quote-unquote, expand the brand. And I love this. I love this argument. I've had people come to me and say, well, I like how they're expanding the brand, but, yeah, they really shouldn't play on bad turf like that. What do you care if they expand the brand? Why do you root for this? It's like, man, I'm so glad Gap opened up a store in Thailand. Why do you care? Why do we need to foist American stuff, culture, pop culture, our economy, whatever? Why do we need to foist our likes and dislikes on anybody else? I just really like how they're expanding the brand. You know, I really want to see them spread the gospel. Why? Who cares? Honestly, do you care if Uber starts up in Shanghai tomorrow? Is that important to you? Do you care if a Home Depot opens up in Kenya tomorrow? We just want to make sure we expand the brand. I mean, I really think that everybody needs to see, you know, American football because I'm such a big fan of it. Who cares? It is the ultimate money grab. But they have done the right thing, and they have moved this back to Los Angeles. So my question is, knowing that the NFL is not run by morality, it's not run by ethics, we know the powers that be, the 32 owners and the commissioner, do not make their decisions based on what the right thing to do is. Why did they make this decision yesterday? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
And the NFL spoke to the NFLPA as well as independent field experts. I mean, they got as many opinions on this as they could regarding the playing surface to see if it was something where they could replace the sod, get this thing down. And they decided in the interest of player safety, as you mentioned, and it is, and the NFLPA was extremely involved. I mean, this goes back a couple of years ago. There were some questions about some of the fields around the league, and the NFLPA had their own independent field experts who would spot check, basically, stadiums around the league. So they have their own people as well. And everybody got together and decided, you know what? This is not in the best interest of player safety.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Mark Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Mike Garofolo, NFL Network. Look, forgive me for my cynicism here, but I don't think the NFL's only decision here was we want to do what's right by the players. Because how often do they only want to do what's right by the players? We just want to make sure the players are safe. I'll tell you why they did this. Because they played out worst case scenario, which I played out for you yesterday. Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL on slipshod turf in Mexico City. Tyreek Hill blows out his knee on terrible conditions in Mexico City. Jared Goff or Todd Gurley blow out their knee on awful conditions in Mexico City, and the Chiefs or the Rams, or the Chiefs and the Rams, have Super Bowl hopes dashed because they lose a huge piece of their puzzle to an unnecessary injury on awful turf. And the NFL wasn't willing to take that risk, knowing how they're continually trying to push their expansion of the game to other markets. Look, they have this grand plan. They've got four games in London next year. They have teamed up with Tottenham Hotspur in the English Premier League to build a new stadium that is very football friendly. It's not soccer specific. It is football friendly to American football. They have planted the Jaguars there once a year. They have designs on expansion, and they're not going to risk that with the biggest game arguably of the season on national TV, because then their war towards this, or their battle towards this, or their... Then it goes haywire, and now we all have a reason to say, why are you doing this anyway? Why are you doing this? Imagine the outcry if one of the quarterbacks blew out their ACL because of this turf. Then what would we say about the cause of expanding the brand? Then suddenly all those people that keep telling me, yeah, I like how they're expanding the brand, would suddenly not have much of a leg to stand on. Why do you care if they play in London? Why do you care if they play across seas? Why? That's why they did it, because they have a cause. They have a battle. They're trying to win this thing of trying to get a team full-time somewhere. And this would put a huge dent in that cause from a public perception standpoint and a PR standpoint. Also, I think there's a strength that happens with the NFLPA that they threaten to boycott, but I don't really think that the teams would not have taken the field on Sunday or Monday night. I don't think that would have happened. I think that was good saber-rattling, but I don't think that would have happened. The NFL powers that be suddenly said, uh-oh. If we lose a player to an ACL tear on this turf, in this game with these two teams and those stars, that hinders our cause to expand this across seas. Let's not take the risk. And I'm glad they did it, but I don't think they did it for any reasons except their own. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I will give the NFL credit. They're handing out tickets to first responders to the wildfires in Southern California, which is the right thing to do, which is a good job by them. I do think they're going to have gobs of tickets because they're going to try to sell out a 100,000-seat bowl to a game in 6 days that nobody had on the schedule before. But the way that they're doing it is the right way to do it. When we come back here on the show, Tom Thibodeau finally pulled the trigger on the Jimmy Butler trade, and now Jimmy Butler's a member of the Sixers. But what did Tibbs do to the Wolves' future in accepting this deal? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no-sweat-pants at work zone.
Cooking is the right word, because you and Mraz being Madden and Gruden in their prime.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know if that's a good thing, but we appreciate the compliment anyway. 23 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Little reminder that you can take us with you on your phone. If you're on the go, listen to us on the CBS Sports app or the radio.com app or Apple Music. Also, you can watch us on your phone as well, watchda.com. You can ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at me, DA on CBS. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And now our toll-free line is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Jake is in Ohio listening to 96.7 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, DA. How you doing, man?
I'm great. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. I agree with what you were saying about the whole Mexico City thing. I wanted to throw a scenario at you and see what you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Say it's the Bills and the 49ers. These are the teams I can think of don't really have any big superstars. What do you think they would have done then?
I think there would have been a lot more conversation about trying to get that field ready. And I don't think they would have done this so quickly and so easily. Let's just say it was last week's Monday night game. This past Monday, a couple days ago. If this was Niners-Giants, two bad teams, going nowhere, bottom of their divisions, bottom of the league, I don't think the NFL is as quick to make this move. I really don't. Now, honestly, the game being on national TV really helps. It helps because it puts all of the spotlight on this game. And so the nation's going to be watching this one game. And even if it's Niners and Giants, and it's Nick Mullins who blows out his ACL, we could all sit here and ask, I mean, should we be really playing on this turf? Do we really need to be playing on this turf right here? Is that necessary to take this risk? But Niners lose Nick Mullins. They're not getting derailed from a Super Bowl run, and the conversation doesn't last all year. If Pat Mahomes or Jared Goff or Todd Gurley or Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce or whatever, if one of these stars blows out their ACL on that Mexico City turf, the conversation doesn't end. Because then one of these teams that had Super Bowl aspirations immediately goes into the tank, and we keep saying, what if, what if, what if, what if? And both of those cities are right now bursting with excitement about their teams. If you pop that balloon, the outcry over that would be so much louder than if the Giants lost even Odell Beckham. Beckham's a huge star, but nobody in New York really has honest beliefs that the Giants could go anywhere by the end of the season. So I absolutely believe the star power and how big this game is and that it's on national TV and it's so obvious how bad the turf is factors into it. Because I'll put it this way. if this is Giants Niners, or as you said, Bills Raiders at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, or even playing within the 1 o'clock games, I don't think they move it. I think they figure that, whatever happens to that game will just end up being part of the noise of a Sunday. But standalone game between two Super Bowl teams, I think it freaked them out. I would hope to believe the NFL would move it either way just because the conditions are so dire. But that's the cynicism in me from seeing decision makers make these types of calls before in the NFL. It's usually out of their own self-preservation and self-interest. It's almost always. No, actually, let me correct myself. It's always out of self-interest. So a couple days ago, the Philadelphia 76ers pull off the massive deal to get Jimmy Butler. Does this put the Sixers as the best team of the Eastern Conference right now? Not yet. No, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors have been leaps and bounds better than everybody else in the Eastern Conference. So this doesn't automatically guarantee the Sixers anything. And the Celtics should be playing better basketball than this. And by the end of the season, my guess is Boston figures this thing out. But it makes the final four in the Eastern Conference, or at least the top four, however you want to shake it down, fascinating. Because Toronto's great. Milwaukee's been great. The Celtics should be great, and this should make the Sixers great. And the Sixers only giving up Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and a second-round pick in 2022, it's nothing. I mean, of course you give it up. Of course. Now, Jimmy Butler, you'd like him to re-sign, because if this is just a rental and he ends up going to play somewhere else for a max contract, you get kind of screwed over because it's only, you know, less than a one-season rental. But to give up Jared Bayless, who nobody in Philadelphia liked anyway, Covington, who was a fan favorite but certainly not a star, and Saric, who had become a really good bench player but, again, not a star, you easily give that up for the chance to bring in Jimmy Butler and to re-sign him because, again, now you have his Larry Bird rights. You're going to sign him to more years, more money than anybody else. My question is not why the Sixers pulled the deal. My question is, why did Thibodeau make this deal? Adrian Wojnarowski, who knows just about everything, the great oracle of the NBA, reported a couple weeks ago, less than that, that the Houston Rockets had offered four number one draft picks, four first rounders, four first rounders for Jimmy Butler, four. Thibodeau got none, zero first-round picks for Jimmy Butler in this deal. So he had four first-rounders on the table, and this is not just a report because the Wolves have not denied it. Tibbs have not denied it. Tibbs is not like, no, that was never on the table. Tibbs was asked about this deal, and Tibbs said on the podium, well, that draft pick we got from the Sixers is very important here. We really like that pick. Guys, that pick is a second rounder 4 years from now. Tom Thibodeau screwed the Timberwolves, and there's no other way to look at this. Tom Thibodeau screwed the T-Wolves because he is not only the general manager, he is the head coach. And thus, he has conflicting interests. Are you building the best roster for long-term health, or are you trying to win now? And Thibodeau is trying to win now because he's trying to hold on to this very well-paying job with a lot of control. Thibodeau has two good young players. I'm not an Andrew Wiggins fan, but he's a good young player when he's got his head screwed on straight and can be explosive. And Karl-Anthony Towns. And they just made the playoffs last year. But you tell me this, what's better for the Timberwolves if you knew you were looking at the T-Wolves not only this year, but 5 or 10 years from now? Getting four first-rounders is exactly like what the Celtics got from the Nets for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And that is widely regarded as the biggest heist in NBA history. The biggest heist. Now, you could argue that the Rockets would be better than the Nets were for a longer amount of time because of James Harden and Chris Paul in their prime. And thus, those first-round picks wouldn't be the number one or number four, number five pick like the Nets became. They would be in the 20s. But, man, look at how bad the Rockets are already right now. Now, maybe with Jimmy Butler, that would change. But you got four first-round picks on the table. Or Jared Bayless, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and a second-rounder 4 years from now. It's a no-brainer. Tom Thibodeau did not do what was best for that organization long term. He did what was best for Tom Thibodeau. We talk about self-preservation there. That's what this deal was about. That's what the deal was about. And if I were the owner, if I was Glenn Taylor, I would have said, take the four firsts, and I'm the owner, and you do what I say, and we want four first rounders. Because that means every other year for the next 4 years, you get your pick and their pick. You can move up with those. You can trade those. One might be in the lottery. One might not be. Both might be in the lottery. You don't know. It's ridiculous that Tibbs said no to that deal. That deal was great. This deal was not. And he did it because of himself. He screwed the Wolves. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. That's toll free. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, an episode of Soundcheck that feels to me like a Benedict Arnold edition of Soundcheck. We have a loyal D-Alien who has combed the archives, the PGP, going back months, trying to entrap me on my support for Huge Freeze. I have not heard the audio yet. I will react in real time. But we had a D-Alien looking to defend Mraz and slam me in my own hypocrisy about Huge. And we'll play that audio coming up for you next.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, with friends like these, who needs enemies? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Big upside.
Oh, wow, he's coughing. Oh, now they're spit. They're spit right on his chin, dripping. Oh, that's a gag.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And there's a brand new PGP out, permission granted podcast. This week, we break down the after effects of You Like That Big Boy and where that now ranks in the 12 DAs of Christmas, because the 12 DAs will start up in the first week of December. We're almost coming into 12 DAs territory, which is just crazy for the end of the year. But check that out as part of the PGP. Also, we bring in our DA show Ombudsman to break down just what the reality should be with You Like That Big Boy, Caroline from sales, being a regular contributor to the DA show. So check that out on iTunes, search permission granted, or just search our normal iTunes feed, the DA show, and go to the website, daoncbs.com, for simply listening to it on demand.
Yeah, you like that big boy.
You know, guys, I have consistently spoken about how important the listeners are to me. I'm not one of these huge ego, self-involved radio show hosts that believe it's all about me. I'm not condescending. I don't talk down to the listener. I value your opinion. When I go out and I meet listeners, I try to spend time with them. I try to get to know them. I'm genuinely curious about your lives. I care. Because I realize I'm not here without you. This is a team thing. This show doesn't run only because of me. It runs because of all the personalities and all the characters and all the people we have working on it and within it, and that included the D-Aliens. We rose from overnights here on this show, doing 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. overnights for the first 2 years, 2013 and 2014. And we rose into the next time slot for one reason and one reason only. Our affiliates kept telling our management, I don't know what's going on at night, but our listeners really like that show. For some reason, the overnight show is one of your most popular shows. All of our listeners keep talking about the overnight show. That groundswell of support when we were doing overnights got us out of the living jail that was trying to stay up in the middle of the night and do something that was actually productive. And me and Mraz and...
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
And Kenny Brock barely got by without threatening one another's lives every single day. But we made it out. It's why we've gone from overnights to evenings to now middays to leading into the historic, legendary Jim Rome show. It is because of you guys, and I value that. And here you are looking to bring me down. It's incredible. It really is incredible. Here you are looking to bring me down. Every single year I thank you around Thanksgiving. Every single year I talk about how wonderful our listeners are around New Year's. Every single holiday I wish you the best. And what happens? You are looking to bring me down. Yeah, okay. I've supported Huge Freeze throughout the Battle of the Bulge. Yes, I've seen something in him that others don't. Yes, I have given him a platform. But because of this, you have no idea the type of abuse I have taken from the listeners. And now it's gone too far. I come in this morning, and Mraz looks at me with those beady little eyes. And he has a big grin, ear to ear, like somebody just delivered him three Chuck E. Cheese chicken buffalo pizza pies. And he says, we got you. Got me? What did I do? Oh, we got you. Got me? He says, I came in this morning to the best news I've ever gotten. A listener has gone through our audio and gotten you. You're trapped. You're done. I'm done. I don't even know what this audio is about. I don't even know. But it is clip number 3 in soundcheck. And apparently, one of our loyal listeners, a D-Alien, went back nearly a year into the radio archives, into PGP 184, we're on PGP 218, and found something I said that apparently entraps me about my support for Huge Freeze, the man with the golden pipes. I don't know what this is, but I am personally offended that I come in and I am being attacked by the listeners that I show so much love to. It's time for soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, cut number 1. John Gruden discussing the owner that gave him $100 million to be the worst team in football.
I want to deliver for him and his family, certainly, and this organization. And right now it's tough, but it's great to have him support me. And I appreciate it. But I feel the same way he does. I just want to win.
Could you imagine being John Gruden and knowing, boy, I am stealing money right now, and I've got 9 more years of this? I mean, wouldn't you be unbelievably kind to the owner? Kind to your boss? Imagine they gave you $100 million. That's $10 million for 10 years guaranteed. And you were the worst at your job. The worst in the league. Could you imagine what you would be saying to your boss? Whew. Boss, I really want to thank you. I'm going to turn it around. I promise. I want to thank you. Can I get you coffee, sir? Can I cut your hair with a cereal bowl over top? What can I do for you, sir? Can I drive you to dinner? Maybe I'll pick up dinner for you. I can pick up your dry cleaning, sir. You know, you would be like Biff in the parking lot at the end of Back to the Future. Marty, Marty, the truck is ready. I got the keys for you, Marty. Biff, you missed a spot. I mean, you do anything. John Gruden is overseeing the worst team in football, and he's got 9 more years and $90 million coming to him. I want football players, Mark. I know you do, too. Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan, our affiliate in Dallas, talking about this Cowboys team.
We've got a group of players that know how to win, and we've played some games that we could have gotten out of there with a win and didn't, and that's not this team. This team has a chance to, I think, be one of the ones that if we can put this next game behind us, I think we've got a chance to be a team that really we remember for a long time.
Yes, because the 2018 Dallas Cowboys, who may go 8-8, win a garbage division, and be blown out by the Vikings in the wild card round, will definitely be remembered. That will be the team that's remembered for all time. Forget the 71 Cowboys team, the first one ever to win a Super Bowl. Forget the 77 team as Roger Staubach and the Doomsday Defense wins their second Super Bowl for Tom Landry. Forget the 92 team, which destroyed the Buffalo Bills and the start of a dynasty. Forget the 95 team that still had all those pieces and was the last championship team and was even one with Barry Switzer at the helm. Forget all of those teams. The team that you will remember in Dallas Cowboys history, not the Ice Bowl, not any of the teams that played against the Steelers in the Super Bowl. Nope. What you'll remember is the 8-8 squad from 2018 that just missed the playoffs.
Really, we remember for a long time.
And finally, clip number 3. Apparently, this comes to us from PGP number 184. We'll see what it is. Captain Johnny tweets, "I'm trashing the guy at work that sings and whistles everywhere he goes. In his office, walking down the hallway into the bathroom. Pipe down, choir boy. No one wants to hear it."
You're so trashy.
Yeah, nobody needs whistle guy. Whistle guy is better than sing guy. Singing guy is the worst guy. Don't sing. Unless you are... I mean, I don't know. Unless you are some type of opera singer, unless you're Adele, don't sing around us. You're not good. You think you're good, you're not good. Oh, I'm not in trouble there.
Are you serious?
I'm not in trouble there.
Are you serious?
Nope,
no, you're not Francesing your way out of this one.
I'm acquitted there because Robbie has formal training. He said he was in the choir in high school.
So was I. Everybody was in the choir in high school. You were mandated to be.
He went to national competitions, he said, senior year, and won national competitions.
He says a lot of things. You said, unless you're Adele. He's not Adele. Adele sings at the Grammys. Robbie sings here at 10:40 on a Thursday if we're lucky and his train doesn't break down.
I don't know how long this segment will last.
You literally said, unless you're a professional singer, nobody wants to hear you sing.
He's got formal training.
No, he doesn't.
He was in the choir. He worked with a voice coach, he said.
Everybody worked with a voice coach in high school in the 90s.
What does that mean? You didn't.
Yes, I did.
You worked with a voice coach.
Yes, they brought in these voice coaches. I hated it. I wasn't good at it.
I've only heard you sing one thing, and that was "Run Away Train, Never Go Back." You had formal voice training?
Does it mean you were? He might be slightly better than I was. You would have been, "I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world." See, you could get it up like that. Everybody knows how to do that. You specifically said in this clip, unless you're Adele, nobody wants to hear you. He's not Adele. Nobody wants to hear him. But yet you give him this voicing. You cannot weasel your rat. You're not going to do that. You were caught here. You, H.Y. Pacrit.
Look, this is what I would say to that. If you're talking about the rando guy at the office
that's
trying to sing and he's got no voice and no pipes and no tenor and no nothing, yeah, it's annoying. But what Robbie has proven week after week after week is that he is a songbird. He has an amazing set of pipes. He has formal training. He can write his own lyrics. He does everything.
D.A., we had a listener go back to a PGP from a year ago.
That's their fault.
No, but the point is, you think that he has this great training, this great ability. We have listeners literally combing through tapes to show you that he's not. That want him out. Get him out.
Look.
D.A., I don't know why I go to extremes.
His voice coach should be fired.
This is what I think happens. I think that people have grown to love you because you're an endearing character, because you are self-deprecating. You're a lovable guy. And I think they feel threatened because they see Robbie coming after you. And you don't like Robbie. If you had said, I love Robbie, they would love him as well. But they're following your lead. So they're looking to defend your cause. But what they're missing here is that Robbie is actually a talent. He might not be dependable. He might not be a good employee. He might not be good at college football picks. But he has talent, and that is undeniable. You can't listen to him singing and his quick repartee and his wit and his jokes and not realize the kid's got something.
All right, on the record, is he Adele?
No, he's not Adele.
Okay, you there said, unless you're Adele, nobody wants to hear you. He is not. We don't want to hear him.
But is the lead singer of Coldplay Adele? No, but I wouldn't mind him singing. But
then why did you say that on that PGP?
Obviously, that's hyperbole. If Michael Jackson in his prime is in here, maybe he's not Adele, but I still want to hear him. If Ariana Grande's in here, I still want to hear her. She's not Adele.
He's not Ariana Grande. He sucks.
He's got golden pipes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.